In the name of Jesus, amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have some troubling words of Jesus in our gospel lesson this morning. Hear these words. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What are we to make of these words of Jesus? Where is he going? What is he pointing us to? The Bible helps us understand the Bible. The Old Testament sheds light on the New Testament and vice versa. And the Old Testament can help us understand what Jesus is saying with these words. In the Old Testament, one of the signs of a false prophet, a false teacher, is that he would avoid calling people out for their sins. He would say, peace, peace, when there was no peace. He would say what people wanted to hear. He would not direct people to God's word. He would avoid calling people to repentance. We hear Jeremiah say these words, "For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain, and from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall at the time that I punish them. They shall be overthrown, says the Lord." Now, you can imagine that's not what the people wanted to hear. People would rather hear good news than bad news. People would rather be told that things are good and that they are good, rather than being told that they need to turn to God and repent. It's that way today, and it was that way back then. Conversely, when you read what the true prophets of God prophesied, it often wasn't peace, but a message of judgment, a message that God's wrath was coming, and a call for repentance. Jeremiah told the false prophet Hananiah, "The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms." The true prophets of God did not bring simply a message of peace, but a message of judgment and the need for repentance. That's not what people wanted to hear, but that's what they needed to hear. So when Jesus comes on the scene and he says that he has not come to bring peace but a sword, he's lining up and identifying himself with the true prophets and men of old who went before him. Jesus was not interested in pandering to people's perceived needs. He was not interested in saying what people wanted to hear. Jesus came to destroy sin, death, and the power of the devil, and that means conflict. That means using a sword of his word to destroy and to save. Jesus brings conflict. And that conflict affects families. It affects those closest to us. It affects our very selves. But even when Jesus talks about this conflict that he comes to bring in families, once again, he's echoing the Old Testament prophets. We hear Micah say these words, and notice how closely they sound to what Jesus said. Micah said, "Put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Micah recognized that the hope of salvation was not found in other people, even if they are part of your own family. The only place to put one's hope and trust is in the Almighty, one true God. Jesus echoes that when he talks about bringing a sword. The conflict that Jesus comes to bring affects our families. It affects our very selves. It's both external and internal. It affects our very life. Jesus is saying that there is something more important than your family. There's something even more important than you. And that's Christ. Christ comes to destroy sin. Sin is a three-letter word with I in the middle. Sin is about what I want and about what I think. Christ comes to destroy that I. And where that destruction is going on, there is bound to be conflict. Christ does not come into our world to keep things the same. He doesn't come to simply pat us on the back and say, keep up the good work. He comes to call us to repentance and to give up living for ourselves and to live for the one who brings us life and hope. And that's where this is all going. The conflict that Christ brings. What's he trying to lead us to? What's the end game of that conflict? Life? Peace? Healing? Hope? That's where Christ seeks to bring us. And that's not found in any human being. It's only found in Jesus. Every other human being will eventually disappoint you. Every single one. Your closest friends, family members, your spouse, your children, your parents. Everyone will ultimately disappoint you. They will either disappoint you while you are alive, while they are alive, or when they die, or both. And they will disappoint you because they are a sinner like you are. So don't be surprised by that. And of course, the flip side of that is, you will also disappoint them. They cannot save, rescue, or deliver you, nor you them. But Jesus has the power to save both you and them. Because Jesus, though he was God and is God, humbled himself to become a man. Entering our world, taking on human flesh, and being found in the form of a man, he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Jesus absorbs all conflict into himself on the cross, that through his death on the cross, he might bring an end to the hostility between us and God. Jesus is himself our peace. Peace is not found anywhere in this world. It's found in Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus leads us to that peace through conflict. Where Christ is present, there you will find a struggle going on. There you will find conflict. Jesus tells us that's the way it is, and it is. One spouse believes it's important to go to church. The other one, not so much. There's conflict. The grandparents believe that baptism is important, and yet their children aren't having their grandkids baptized. What results? Conflict. Parents tell the kids it's time to go to church. The kids don't want to go. Or sometimes it's the kids who want to go, and the parents don't want to go. And what's the result? Conflict. Now, of course, it'd be easier just to ignore it, not to deal with it, pretend it doesn't matter, but nothing gets resolved unless conflict is dealt with. conflict can lead to healing and peace. And that's where Jesus would take us. So don't be surprised by conflict. Don't run away from it. The conflict that Jesus brings would lead us to life and peace. In fact, let that conflict that you experience in your own family and in your own heart drive you to Jesus again and again and again, who loves you more than you realize, who takes your sins away from you farther than the east is from the west, and who will continue to pour out his good gifts upon you that have no end. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.